Chapter 54. After calling several times for poison, and requesting some lady or gentleman to blow his brains out, gentler feelings came upon him, and he wept pathetically. In his softened frame of mind he did not oppose the capture of the knife which, to tell the truth, he was rather glad to be rid of, as an inconvenient and dangerous article for a skirt pocket, and finally he suffered himself to be led away by his affectionate partner. After a delay of 2 or 3 hours, the young ladies were informed that their services would be dispensed with until further notice, and at the expiration of 2 days, the name of Mantalini appeared in the list of bankrupts. Miss Nickleby received an intimation per post, on the same morning, that the business would be, in future, carried on under the name of Miss Knagg, and that her assistance would no longer be required. A piece of intelligence with which Mrs. Nickleby was no sooner made acquainted than that good lady declared she had expected it all along, and cited divers unknown occasions on which she had prophesied to that precise effect. And I say again, apostrophe remark Mrs. Nickleby, who, it is scarcely necessary to observe, had never said so before, I say again, that a milliner's and dressmaker's is the very last description of business, Kate, that you should have thought of attaching yourself to. I don't make it a reproach to you, my love. But still I will say, that if you had consulted your own mother apostrophe, well, mama, apostrophe said Kate, mildly. What would you recommend now? Apostrophe, recommend. Apostrophe, cried Mrs. Nickleby, isn't it obvious, my dear, that of all occupations in this world for a young lady situated as you are, that of companion to some amiable lady, is the very thing for which your education, and manners, and personal appearance, and everything else, exactly qualify you? Did you never hear your poor dear papa speak of the young lady who was the daughter of the old lady who boarded in the same house that he boarded in once, when he was a bachelor? What was her name again? I know it began with a B, and ended with G, but whether it was Waters or no, it couldn't have been that either. But whatever her name was, don't you know that that young lady went as companion to a married lady who died soon afterwards, and that she married the husband, and had one of the finest little boys that the medical man had ever seen all within 18 months? Apostrophe, Kate knew perfectly well that this torrent of favorable recollection was occasioned by some opening, real or imaginary, which her mother had discovered in the companionship walk of life. She therefore waited, very patiently, until all reminiscences and anecdotes, bearing or not bearing upon the subject, had been exhausted, and at last ventured to inquire what discovery had been made. The truth then came out. Mrs. Nickleby had, that morning, had a yesterday's newspaper of the very first respectability from the public house, where the porter came from, and in this yesterday's newspaper was an advertisement, couched in the purest and most grammatical English, announcing that a married lady was in want of a genteel young person as companion, and that the married lady's name and address were to be known, on application at a certain library at the west end of the town, there mentioned. And I say, apostrophe exclaimed Mrs. Nickleby, laying the paper down in triumph, that if your uncle don't object, it's well worth the trial. Apostrophe, Kate was too sick at heart, after the rough jostling she had already had with the world, and really cared too little at the moment what fate was reserved for her, to make any objection. Mr. Ralph Nickleby offered none, but, on the contrary, highly approved of the suggestion. Neither did he express any great surprise at Madame Mantalini's sudden failure. Indeed, it would have been strange if he had, inasmuch as it had been procured, and brought about chiefly by himself. So, the name and address were obtained without loss of time, and Miss Nickleby and her mama went off in quest of Mrs. Witherly, of Cadogan Plus, Sloane Street, that same forenoon. Cadogan Plus is the one slight bond that joins two great extremes. It is the connecting link between the aristocratic pavements of Belgrave Square and the barbarism of Chelsea. It is in Sloane Street, but not of it. the people in Cadogan Plus look down upon Sloane Street and think Brompton low. They affect fashion too, and wonder where the new road is. Not that they claim to be on precisely the same footing as the high folks of Belgrave Square and Grosvenor Plus, but that they stand, with reference to them, rather in the light of those illegitimate children of the great who are content to boast of their connections, although their connections disavow them. Wearing as much as they can of the airs and semblances of loftiest rank, the people of Cadogan Plus have the realities of middle station. It is the conductor which communicates to the inhabitants of regions beyond its limit the shock of pride of birth and rank, which it is not within itself, but derives from a fountainhead beyond. Or, like the ligament which unites the Siamese twins, it contains something of the life and essence of two distinct bodies, and yet belongs to neither. Upon this doubtful ground, lived Mrs. Witherly, and at Mrs. Witherly's door Kate Nickleby knocked with trembling hand. The door was opened by a big footman with his head floured, or chalked, or painted in some way that didn't look genuine powder, and the big footman, receiving the card of introduction, gave it to a little page. So little, indeed, that his body would not hold, in ordinary array, the number of small buttons which are indispensable to a page's costume, and they were consequently obliged to be stuck on four abreast. This young gentleman took the card upstairs on the salver, and pending his return, Kate and her mother were shown into a dining room of rather dirty and shabby aspect, and so comfortably arranged, as to be adapted to almost any purpose, rather than eating and drinking. Now, in the ordinary course of things, and according to all authentic descriptions of high life, as set forth in books, Mrs. Witherly ought to have been in her boudoir. But whether it was that Mr. Witherly was at that moment shaving himself in the boudoir or what not, certain it is that Mrs. Witherly gave audience in the drawing room, where was everything proper and necessary, including curtains and furniture coverings of a roseate hue, to shed a delicate bloom on Mrs. Witherly's complexion, and a little dog, to snap at strangers' legs for Mrs. Witherly's amusement, and the aforementioned page, to hand chocolate for Mrs. Witherly's refreshment. The lady had an air of sweet insipidity, and a face of engaging paleness. There was a faded look about her, and about the furniture, and about the house. She was reclining on a sofa in such a very unstudied attitude, that she might have been taken for an actress already for the first scene in a ballet, and only waiting for the drop curtain to go up. Plus chairs. Apostrophe, the page placed them. Leave the room, Alphonse. Apostrophe, the page left it. But if ever an Alphonse carried plain Bill in his face and figure, that page was the boy. I have ventured to call, ma'am, apostrophe said Kate, after a few seconds of awkward silence, from having seen your advertisement. Apostrophe, yes, apostrophe replied Mrs. Witherly, one of my people, put it in the paper, yes. Apostrophe, I thought, perhaps, apostrophe said Kate, modestly, that if you had not already made a final choice, you would forgive my troubling you with an application. Apostrophe, yes, apostrophe drawled Mrs. Witherly again. If you have already made a selection, apostrophe, oh dear no, apostrophe interrupted the lady, I am not so easily suited. I really don't know what to say. You have never been a companion before, have you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mrs. Nickleby, who had been eagerly watching her opportunity, came dexterously in, before Kate could reply. Not to any stranger, ma'am, apostrophe said the good lady, but she has been a companion to me for some years. I am her mother, ma'am. Apostrophe, oh. Apostrophe, apostrophe said Mrs. Witherly, I apprehend you. Apostrophe, I assure you, ma'am, apostrophe said Mrs. Nickleby, that I very little thought, at one time, that it would be necessary for my daughter, to go out into the world at all, for her poor dear papa was an independent gentleman, and would have been at this moment, if he had but listened in time to my constant entreaties and apostrophe, dear mama, apostrophe said Kate, in a low voice. My dear Kate, if you will allow me to speak, apostrophe said Mrs. Nickleby, I shall take the liberty of explaining to this lady apostrophe, I think it is almost unnecessary, mamma. Apostrophe, and notwithstanding all the frowns and winks with which Mrs. Nickleby intimated that she was going to say something which would clench the business at once, Kate maintained her point by an expressive look, and for once Mrs. Nickleby was stopped upon the very brink of an oration. What are your accomplishments? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Mrs. Witherly, with her eyes shut. Kate blushed as she mentioned her principal acquirements, and Mrs. Nickleby checked them all off, one by one, on her fingers, having calculated the number, before she came out. Luckily the two calculations agreed, so Mrs. Nickleby had no excuse for talking. You are a good temper? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Mrs. Witherly, opening her eyes for an instant, and shutting them again. I hope so, apostrophe, rejoined Kate. And have a highly respectable reference for everything, have you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Kate replied that she had, and laid her uncle's card upon the table. Have the goodness to draw your chair a little nearer, and let me look at you, apostrophe said Mrs. Witherly. I am so very nearsighted, that I can't quite discern your features. Apostrophe, Kate complied, though not without some embarrassment, with this request, and Mrs. Witherly took a languid survey of her countenance, which lasted some 2 or 3 minutes. I like your appearance, apostrophe said that lady, ringing a little bell. Alphonse, request your master to come here. Apostrophe, the page disappeared on this errand, and after a short interval, during which not a word was spoken on either side, opened the door for an important gentleman of about 8 and 30, of rather plebeian countenance, and with a very light head of hair, who leant over Mrs. Witherly for a little time, and conversed with her in whispers. Oh! Apostrophe, apostrophe, he said, turning round, yes. This is a most important matter. Mrs. Witherly is of a very excitable nature, very delicate, very fragile, a hothouse plant, and exotic. Apostrophe, oh. Henry, my dear, apostrophe interposed Mrs. Witherly. You are, my love, you know you are. One breath apostrophe said Mr. W, comma blowing an imaginary feather away. Foh. You're gone. Apostrophe, the lady sighed. Your soul is too large for your body, apostrophe said Mr. Witherly. Your intellect wears you out. All the medical men say so. You know that there is not a physician who is not proud of being called into you. What is their unanimous declaration? My dear doctor, said I to Sir Tumley Snuffum, in this very room, the very last time he came. My dear doctor, what is my wife's complaint? Tell me all. I can bear it. Is it nerves? My dear fellow, he said, be proud of that woman. Make much of her. She is an ornament to the fashionable world, and to you. Her complaint is soul. It swells, expands, dilates the blood fires, the pulse quickens, the excitement increases you. Apostrophe here Mr. Witherly, who, in the ardor of his description, had flourished his right hand to within something less than an inch of Mrs. Nickleby's bonnet, drew it hastily back again, and blew his nose as fiercely as if it had been done by some violent machinery. You make me out worse than I am, Henry, apostrophe said Mrs. Witherly, with a faint smile. I do not, Julia, I do not, apostrophe said Mr. W. The society in which you move necessarily move, from your station, connection, and endowments is one vortex and whirlpool of the most frightful excitement. Bless my heart and body, can I ever forget the night you danced with the baronet's nephew at the election ball, at Exeter? It was tremendous. Apostrophe, I always suffer for these triumphs afterwards, apostrophe said Mrs. Witherly. And for that very reason, apostrophe rejoined her husband, you must have a companion, in whom there is great gentleness, great sweetness, excessive sympathy, and perfect repose. Apostrophe, here, both Mr. and Mrs. Witherly, who had talked rather at the Nicklebys than to each other, left off speaking, and looked at their two ears, with an expression of countenance which seemed to say, "What do you think of all this?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mrs. Witherly, apostrophe, said her husband, addressing himself to Mrs. Nickleby, is sought after and courted by glittering crowds and brilliant circles. She is excited by the opera, the drama, the fine arts, the apostrophe, the nobility, my love, apostrophe, interposed Mrs. Witherly. The nobility, of course, apostrophe, said Mr. Witherly. And the military. She forms and expresses an immense variety of opinions on an immense variety of subjects. If some people in public life were acquainted with Mrs. Witherly's real opinion of them, they would not hold their heads, perhaps, quite as high as they do. Apostrophe, hush, Henry, apostrophe, said the lady, this is scarcely fair. Apostrophe, I mention no names, Julia, apostrophe, replied Mr. Witherly, and nobody is injured. I merely mention the circumstance to show that you are no ordinary person, that there is a constant friction perpetually going on between your mind and your body, and that you must be soothed and tended. Now let me hear, dispassionately and calmly, what are this young lady's qualifications for the office? Apostrophe, in obedience to this request, the qualifications were all gone through again, with the addition of many interruptions and cross-questionings from Mr. Witherly. It was finally arranged that inquiries should be made, and a decisive answer addressed to Miss Nickleby under cover of her uncle, within 2 days. These conditions agreed upon, the page showed them down as far as the staircase window, and the big footman, relieving guard at that point, piloted them in perfect safety to the street door. They are very distinguished people, evidently, apostrophe, said Mrs. Nickleby, as she took her daughter's arm. What a superior person Mrs. Witherly is. Apostrophe, apostrophe, do you think so, Mama? Apostrophe, apostrophe, was all Kate's reply. Why, who can help thinking so, Kate, my love? Apostrophe, rejoined her mother. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.